This is Kinetic Podcast, a podcast for those with a heart for reaching kids. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode you're going to hear practical insights and strategies that will hopefully inspire you to energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. What's up, kidmen peeps? Thank you so much for listening to Kinetic Podcast. Our goal here is to equip and inspire you to energize your kidmen. Our speaker this week is Pastor Nate Roberts in Joplin, Missouri. And in this conversation, he shares some insights on the transition that took place between being a kids evangelist to a senior pastor. And also, too, he shares his expectations for his kids ministry team from a pastor's perspective. And so it's some great insightful information, and he encourages kids ministry leaders and Sunday school teachers as a pastor. And so we hope you enjoy this episode. We hope it helps you. We hope it inspires you. And most of all, we hope it energizes your kidmen. This is Nate Roberts. Well, today on Kinetic Podcast, we have a special guest. It is so good to have Pastor Nathan Roberts. And Pastor Nate Roberts has been a kids evangelist and a pastor. And for 23 years, he's been a full-time ministry. And now he is a pastor at Apostolic Revival Church, also known as The Ark in Joplin, Missouri. And he's done seminars and conferences and kids ministry revivals and camps. And he really connects with kids and families in a unique way. And now as a pastor, we're going to talk to him today about his perspective on kids ministry from the view of a pastor. Pastor Nate Roberts, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you so very much. It's awesome to be here. You did something. I was doing a children's church for our conference a couple of years ago when we finally accepted the call to pastor, and I was working with Ryan Copeland out of West Monroe. And so it was like during that conference we were elected pastor, and then he was like, so then all the other children's evangelist people that we were working with, now they all started picking me, going, okay, Pastor Roberts, Pastor. And whenever you introduced me just then, you were like, we're glad to have Pastor Roberts. Well, here we go again. So
I apologize, man.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right.
That's great. That's great. Well, kind of take us back from the beginning. You know, I'm sure there's listeners that are familiar with your ministry. Maybe there are those that aren't, but just kind of tell us how you got involved in kids ministry from the beginning.
Whenever I was 9 years old, my mom and dad bought me my very first magician's kit. At the age of 13, I began to play guitar, and so I would do music and magic and played with both of those. And then my goal as I was growing up was to either to be a comedian or to travel and play in a rock and roll gospel band or to be a magician. And as a teenager, that was my goals, or one of my goals in life. At the age of 21, God called me into the ministry, and man, I honestly just pushed everything aside, and man, I tried to be the next Jeff Arnold. I wanted to be Stone King. I tried to preach like a Brother David Poole, a wonderful evangelist from Louisiana, and man, you know, I tried to be my pastor, and you know, it was, you know, 21, 22, 23 years old, and it was just, you know, I was trying to be everybody else. And then one night at a Valentine's banquet, I was the entertainment. I got up, I did some magic tricks, I played my guitar, did some comedy songs. And after the banquet was over with, my pastor comes up to me and he says, you know, you need to do that in your ministry. I said, I need to do what in my ministry? He says, well, you need to do that funny stuff in your ministry. You need to be do some magic tricks and play the guitar, do some funny stuff. And I'm like, oh no, you know, you can't do that because the ministry is so serious, and and you've got to and preach the word, and you can't do funny stuff. And he's like, well, yeah, you can. He said, so be ready Sunday and do some of that stuff. I'm like, okay. And I did. And to make a long story short, there was another pastor that was there that saw that ministry as it was beginning to come to life. And he was like, you need to come preach for me. I'm like, great, I'll come. He said, and bring some of that magic stuff. I'm like, okay. So I preached for him. And another pastor said, you need to come do a children's revival. A children's revival? I didn't even know what a children's revival was. And I'm like, well, okay. So I did that. And then lo and behold, kids started receiving the Holy Ghost in that revival. And just to make a longer story even shorter, from there, other invitations begin to come. Revivals begin to come. Camps begin to come. And it was a ministry that I never set out to actually have, but it was something that God put in place. And now that as I look back over my life, over what I was doing as a teenager growing up, it was something that God was putting into place all along, and I didn't even realize it until I had gotten up older. So everything that I'm doing, it was all God ordained and God placed. And so I am where I am today because of God. So there you go.
Very cool. And I think a lot of kids ministers, even if they're not kids evangelists, you know, we can relate to that, because a lot of times kids ministry, you know, it just something that happens where it's an open door that, you know, we're just involved in something in the church, or we're just willing to do whatever. And someone says, hey, why don't you be involved in kids ministry? And so that's incredible that from that, an amazing ministry grew. And so now after that, you kind of transitioned into a different role, being a senior pastor. So kind of just explain that to us as far as, you know, what was that transition like? What were some things that you've learned or maybe are still learning as far as, you know, going from a kids evangelist to now a senior pastor over a church?
It was, I was assuming that it was going to be a seamless transition, but it was, from my perspective, not from the church's perspective, but from my perspective, it had a couple of bumps in the road, because, you know, I'm used to being the evangelist. I'm used to being the children's evangelist. I come in and I'm, and you know this as well, Josh, as being a children's evangelist yourself. You know, you're up and you're always excited and happy and the life of the party and bringing all the jokes in, and now all of a sudden, and I, you know, I preach too. I'm a licensed minister. I've preached. I've regular preached. I hate to even use that term, but I've regularly preached as well. But now all of a sudden, it's every service that I've got to be the pastor. I've got to be the preacher. I've got to be the minister. And it goes back to whenever I was transitioning into children's ministry. Now I'm having to transition out of children's ministry, and I was trying to make that switch. And and I've been pastoring now for almost 2 years, and making that switch from children's minister to pastor, I had to realize that I couldn't just lay down the children's ministry, which is what I tried to do, just lay it down, quit, and step forward, put on my suit, put on my tie, and welcome everyone to the church service today, and then try to. I'll tell you who helped me. I'll tell you who helped me. Brother Wayne Huntley got with me, and he told me. He said, "You're doing this pastoring thing all wrong." He says, "You're trying to lay down your children's ministry." He says, "And your children's ministry is what got you to where you are." He says, "Go back to that, begin to pick that up, and incorporate that." Incorporate your children's ministry into your pastoring and into your ministry and into your sermons for your church. He says, and you're going to see some things begin to happen and things begin to turn around. And so that's exactly what I've done. It's something that I'm not going to say that I can't escape it, because I'm definitely not trying to escape it, because it's my heart, it's my life, it's what I love to do. But, you know, I pick up the guitar every now and then, do something crazy, do something fun for the people. And probably some of the best comments or compliments that I've had people have come up to me after service, or they've seen me out town, and they'll say, "We know you're a pastor, but please don't take this wrong. You don't even act like a pastor." And I'm like, "Well, thank you. That's the greatest compliment I guess I could ever have in my life, is for somebody to say that I don't like act like a pastor." And I'm just trying to keep things going as best as I can these days.
That's awesome. And what a cool testimony. You know, I think it comes back to just remaining true to that calling. You know, we're all called and to specific roles, or some of us maybe specific ministries. And kids ministry is one of those things where when that's our calling, you know, we can't get away from it. And it might be different forms. It might change throughout the year, but you're still remaining true to that calling. So as a pastor, do you, you know, kind of explain to us kind of what's your perspective, you know, on kids ministry now as a pastor? And I'm sure, you know, going from a kids evangelist, just like you said, making that transition, how do you view kids ministry in the role of church growth, or in the role of the vision of the church, or just as the body of Christ? You know, what are some things that have changed in your perspective, or maybe that were there that you just didn't see before, of viewing kids ministry from a pastor's perspective?
Well, I have taught Sunday school seminars and children's ministry seminars all across the U.S., and my motto has always been, and still is, that if you can win the children, you can win the parents. Of course, these days you have to say parents, grandparents, and our guardians. If you can get the kids to coming, then you have a really, really good chance at getting the parents or grandparents or guardians to coming. And whenever I first took over as pastor, one of the first things that I did was I had a Sunday school seminar with my church, which was really weird, because I'm looking at these people that I see every Sunday, and now I'm up teaching them how to do Sunday school, and they were doing, they did the standard Sunday school class, what I would consider the standard Sunday school class. You bring the kids in, set them down at a table, do a craft, do a snack, and do a lesson, which drives me crazy. and so here I am sitting down with these guys, and I'm like, no, let's get rid of the table. Let's get kids involved, and et cetera. And I really begin to emphasize to them the importance of children's ministry. You know, because again, I do believe that if you win the kids, you can win the parents. And it gave them a whole new perspective of children's ministry. You know, because my feeling is this, is that our greatest revival is not necessarily out in the city. Our greatest revival is down the hallway, in that Sunday school class, in that Sunday school room, because we could go out and have 100 soul revival, but if we lose the kids that's in that classroom, then we really haven't done anything. But we've got to win them and raise up future leaders, future teachers, future pastors, and that's the whole point. That's the whole aspect of having children's ministry, especially in a church, in a church setting.
So, from your perspective, how does kids ministry play a role, you know, in the overall picture of the church? So yes, you know, stressing that point that kids ministry is important. You know, we reach for the kids, that can bring the families in. So how do you incorporate that in your church, as far as making sure that, you know, because a lot of times if we're not careful, kids ministry can just kind of become its own separate program or own separate island, kind of off. You know, maybe it's in the family center across the parking lot, or it's down the hallway, like you said. So how can we incorporate that into the whole church body, to where everyone in the church, you know, is seeing what's going on in the kids ministry, or, you know, everything that happens in the kids ministry can affect the church and vice versa? What are some ways that you've tried to do that?
There's a couple of things that we do. Number one, every fifth Sunday we have a student takeover service, and the teenagers and the kids come in and they take over the service. They do the singing, they do the music, they'll do a drama piece, they do the ministry, they do the offering. But our main thing is to get all the kids involved, teenagers on down. And, you know, of course, it's easy to throw the teens up there and let them do something. They can play music, but my goal is to get the 12-year-olds and under involved as well. And if they're 3 and 4 year olds, they can't do any. You know, they can't get up and quote a scripture. But man, I'm going to tell you what, grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and aunt and uncle's going to be there taking pictures of them because they're up on the platform doing something. And that's every fifth Sunday that we do that. Another thing that I like to do, me personally, is that I will take, of course, we have Sunday school on Sundays, and then on Wednesday nights, we do a special children's service separate from the main service as well. So we have like two services going on at once. Well, one Wednesday night a month, I go in and do the children's service. Me personally, I will go in and do that. And, you know, because I want to be involved with the children. Whenever I was a children's director at our church, our last church that we were at there in Louisiana, I got the concept, I got the idea, and I would have our pastor come in one Wednesday a month to come in and do that. And he was just like, yeah, now you got to realize Brother Harris, Brother Virgil Harris was my pastor, 77 years old, just turned 77 years old. And it was hilarious. It was funny that he would come in and teach those babies. I'm calling them babies because I call all my kids babies. Teach those children. And my advice would be is if you're a pastor is to get in there with those kids, get in there at least one Sunday a month, get involved with them, and then not only keep them in the Sunday school class, but get them out of that class. Let them come in the sanctuary once a month and do a choir song or put them in front of the people and let them show what they've learned. Do Bible verses or do a drama sketch or do an action song. Just, you know, if they're only up there for 3 minutes, man, get them in front of the people so the people can see what those children are doing.
I love that. And I think that's important that, you know, again, when you have the kids in front, in those areas, you know, whether it be the kids choir or the fifth Sunday that you said that's very important. And I love what you said about the pastor, you know, coming in, you know, and speaking every once in a while or just interacting with the kids, you know, during one of their services. And I think to add on to that, you know, even if we have kids pastors or Sunday school directors listening, you know, even if, you know, inviting not just the pastor, but getting the youth pastor, you know, or getting, you know, another leader, you know, just to come in every once in a while and where the kids, you know them and they know their leaders and they know their pastors. And I think that's great. I think it's a great way to kind of make sure everything is integrated and the kids ministry is not just something that's, you know, far off in the corner. So as a pastor, what are your expectations for your kids ministers? What are your expectations for your Sunday school teachers? Because obviously every pastor is different. Every church culture is different. But I think there's some general expectations that our pastors have for us. You know, when someone is part of the kids ministry, you know, it's a serious thing. And so what are your expectations that you have for your kids ministry team?
I expect my kids ministry team to be just as involved, if not more involved, than my teen leaders. I want them to get to know the kids. I want them to know what they like. I want them to know what the kids' favorite animals are. You know, what is their favorite color? Who is their favorite cartoon character? And then whenever they're teaching a class or whenever they're doing, I hate to say a lesson because I think when you first walk into the classroom to begin, I think the whole class is a lesson. It's not just a section of the class that you do, the whole class. But whenever they're interacting with the kids, they can say, you know, they can mention that child's favorite animal. They can mention the child's pet or their grandparents or what, you know, and you're connecting with those kids. I will tell you this, brother, that I've come to find out because I've evangelized. I've been a children's evangelist for years. And being a children's evangelist, you know this, you swoop down into a church and everybody comes together or you'll either meet in the sanctuary or you meet in the another part of the church and rah, rah, rah. And, oh, man, you just have a great time and man, kids are filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's awesome. I think Jason Sisko calls it like a microwave. Like when you're an evangelist, you're the microwave. But whenever you're working in a church and you're working with children in a church setting, Sunday after Sunday, it goes from being a microwave to being like a crock pot. You know, so I've got to see these kids every Sunday. I've got to add a little something to them every Sunday and work with them every Sunday or every Wednesday or every service. And then, okay, let's add a little bit of seasoning here. Okay, they need a little something here. They need some care here. They need to talk about their family here. And then it comes time, you're planning and you're watering, and then God is going to give the increase. And as a children's director, as a Sunday school teacher, as leaders, I want my staff to be involved in the lives of those kids, to be the crock pot, to know what they're doing and what they're involved in, so that whenever the time comes and they are ready to receive the Holy Ghost, they're right there with them and can help them pray through to the Holy Ghost.
I love it. And I think it all comes down to building, you know, relationships with the kids, relationships with the families. And I love that analogy. I have heard that from Jason Sisko of, you know, as an evangelist, you know, it is, you go in, you go out, and there's an expectation of kind of a flash in the pan, like you said, a microwave. But as a pastor, you know, that's when discipleship comes into play. And that's where week after week of just seasoning and investing. And so that I love that as a kids minister, you know, don't just teach on Sunday, don't just, you know, fill a role on one day of the week, but get invested in the families, get invested and learn and build a relationship with the kids. What are some ways that you encourage your Sunday school teachers to do that? You know, I encourage my Sunday school teachers to, you know, take a family out or take kids out, maybe if it's for like frozen yogurt or something like that. What are some practical ways that that Sunday school teachers and kids ministers can invest in kids and families outside of Sunday?
I have been encouraging our teachers and leaders to get out of the Sunday school class, meet up at the park on Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, and just get out and go play ball with them. Just let them go play at the park, go play on the swing sets, go just get out of the class and, you know, just say, we're meeting up at such and such park and you know, bring your parents or whatever. We're just going to meet up for pizza. You know, the church will buy pizza. Everybody just show up for pizza. And to be honest with you, brother, what blows my mind is that I've had some folks that can't grasp that concept. They're like, oh, okay, so what we'll do, we'll meet up at the park and we'll have pizza and then we'll have a Bible lesson. I go, no, there's no Bible lesson. Just get out and interact with those kids and interact with the parents. Oh, well, then we can have a fundraiser. No, we're not having a fundraiser. We're just getting out and being in the community so we're just going to have fun. Exactly. That's exactly what we're going to do. And that's my main thing, is trying to get my leaders out. And they are. My guys are doing a fantastic job of that. They've come from the old adage of you've got to keep your hand on them and rule with an iron fist and have fun. How dare them have fun? Oh, no, no. We're going to have fun. We're going to get out to the park. We're going to go play. Let them play wiffle ball. Let me get out there and show them how crazy we and just if you can get out and be a friend to them, then of course, obviously, if you're a friend, then you can win them.
That's great, and that's some great practical advice to just, you know, have fun. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of fun for a kid. You know, just simple, something simple like kicking a kickball or throwing a football or just, you know, just spending time with them. Kids value that. Well, Pastor Nathan, thank you so much. If you notice, I didn't pause or stutter that time. I got it right. But thank you so much for being on the podcast. Is there any last words you'd like to share with us as far as just, you know, encouraging kids ministers from a pastor's perspective?
I would like to say don't give up. I know that there are discipline problems that, you know, you're teaching a class and or maybe you're doing super church and there's discipline problems that you're having trouble with. Don't give up on those guys. Don't quit, but keep on going. One of the toughest pieces of advice was given to me by a magician friend of mine. His name is Chris Capehart. I was doing a seminar in New Albany, Mississippi, and I had had some street kids that I hate to use the term street kids or bus ministry kids, but that, you know, but you understand what I'm talking about. Well, I mean, my goodness, I am Nathan Roberts, children's evangelist. I've traveled the world over. I can handle any situation. I could not, for the life of me, not only could I not connect with those kids, but I couldn't keep their attention. I did every trick in the book. It just wasn't happening. And my friend Chris Capehart told me, he says, "Well, Nathan," he says, "well, the deal is," he says, "you're not entertaining enough." Well, that hurt my feelings. I'm like, "You've got to be kidding." And so he, you know, he said, "No, play some games, have some fun. Don't try to be preachy and just have a blast." And of course, then I went back, had those same kids, did exactly what he said, and won them over. And as a matter of fact, several of them did come and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But man, if you've got kids that's being a discipline problem, you can only be mean so many times. I hate being mean. I hate being a disciplinarian. But turn it into a game. You know, if you can do so and so, if you can accomplish this task, which would be an impossible task that they would never be able to accomplish. If you can accomplish this task, then you're going to win a PlayStation 3. You know, make it something impossible. You know, they know they're not going to win. They know they're not, but you're going to win them over, and then just interact with them, and don't count out the discipline problems, because they're going to turn out to be something great.
Yeah, that's great. And I would add, if you're going to do a game where you're offering a PlayStation 3, make sure it's a really, really hard game.
It's got to be a game that you're in control of. You know, I don't know. I can't think of any examples right now. Being a magician, I do cups and balls. There's a cups and balls game. You know, you got to guess whether the ball is under the cup or whether the ball is in my pocket. Well, I'm in total 100% control. So no matter what they say, it's not going to be right. So,
very cool. Well, Pastor Nathan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And we really appreciate just kind of sharing your advice and wisdom. And thank you again for being on this episode.
Well, it was a great honor. And thank you so much for what you do for the kingdom, brother.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you again for checking out Kinetic Podcast. Until next time, we hope you can use this information to energize your kid men. We'll see you next time.